Hello and welcome to The Story Pilgrim. Before we delve in, please remember to like this podcast, review it, rate it, tell your friends about it. We need more ears to be listening in, so please share it with those that you care about. Stories from the Canal Café Theatre. Now, this episode is going to be a little bit different to those that you have heard before, that you're used to. I want to try and mix it up a little bit. In 2022, I had a little residency at the Canal Café Theatre in Maida Vale in London, where we were holding storytelling evenings. It was an occasion where you were able to come along in the afternoon and go for a walk with me around that area. Some wonderful canals along there and some amazing history, as London is steeped in all of that. And then that evening we would then convene in the Canal Café Theatre and hold a storytelling evening. The proviso that I have for the storytelling is that it is a real story from your own life and that you keep it to about 8 minutes or less. So I have all of these recordings and I haven't done anything with them since I've had those evenings recorded. So I thought we'd pop them on here. So when I hold these storytelling evenings, I have no idea what the people are going to come up and say. Each individual is completely unique. So I would always start off the evening with a little trigger warning saying that I have no idea what people are going to say. If people could keep it clean and respectful of people that are in the audience, that would be great. Obviously, this being a recording and a podcast, I have control over what I can put out there. I can tell you that a couple of the stories during this podcast will have some sexual content, but it's all in good faith. You're going to hear 5 stories this evening from people from all walks of life. The first up is a intelligent, wonderful young man called Aidan, giving us a little story about his... Well, I'll let him tell you.
Hello.
I decided to be brave.
So I absolutely haven't prepared anything, but in the spirit of everything that just happened on stage, I have no excuse not to do something. So I have 2 stories that I can tell, and I'm going to gauge crowd reaction as to which one to do. I have 2 stories in my life, and that's it.
I don't believe that.
How dare you? The first is about a crazy housemate, and the second is about crazy lungs. Can I get a round of applause for if you want me to tell the crazy housemate story?
Yeah!
Okay. And crazy lungs. So, unsurprising to no one, I did a performing arts degree. Faint surprise. And as such, I lived in a university house full of drama students. But bizarrely, we had 1 business student in our house. He didn't do any of our classes, he didn't have any of the same friends as us, but we made such an effort to befriend him. It was perhaps a little bit too aggressive how positive we were about him. And he really received that. He was very receptive. But as the weeks went by, you know, during Freshers Week, we all get very close in a very short period of time. He got a little too close. He successfully asked out every single girl in the house that he lived with. And at first, these girls just kind of were mortified. They didn't tell anyone. And eventually, it became this strange realization amongst the majority of the house. Oh God, he's going through each of us. Oh no. Oh no, we need to form some sort of coalition here, Jesus. And so we kind of politely talked to him about it, and he said, "Oh, what are you talking about? I don't know. And so we sort of, you know, lightly, maybe one-on-one, occasionally, sort of showed him texts where he had asked girls out, and he said, "Where? I just wanted to go to the movies with you. What are you talking about?" Like, "Yeah, but then the next text where you asked to sleep with me, mixed messages." So that was concerning. There was a very specific moment that I remember very vividly when we were all watching a TV show and he was joking with us and he was saying like, "Oh, this movie's crap, these people can't act, I can do what you guys can do." And we were like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And somebody else came in the room and we said, oh, he just made this stupid joke about how he could be an actor, and he went, that's a lie, I never said anything along those lines, and we all went, oh. Oh, so he's crazy, that's... And it was all silly, and we kind of teased him about it until it got to the point where we'd be on nights out and he'd start confronting people. He'd pin people up against the wall. There was a night when he kind of pushed me up against the wall and said a lot of very uncomfortable, little more homophobic stuff. And eventually we decided as a house to have a chat with him, and we suggested that he wasn't happy and that he should maybe move out. And he was, again, really receptive to it. And it went pretty well. The night he was supposed to move out, there was a quite high-functioning autistic guy in the house who posted quite a sad status online, and there was a huge outpour of love and support to him. We also said, like, oh, come to my room, we'll get a takeaway, we'll watch a movie or something like that. And this guy commented on this guy's status saying, they're all lying, you should kill yourself. So, I sent him a private message and I said, hey, I understand it's a difficult evening. It's a shame that we had to get this position. It's not fair for you to take out that frustration on him. He's not the right target. He said, fair enough. And I said, listen, I'm downstairs in the lounge by myself. Come down and have a chat. Sounds like we need to have a chat. And he came downstairs and I was sat on my laptop and he came in with a big smile on his face, which is always reassuring when you're about to have a difficult conversation when somebody comes in beaming like a psychopath. And we sat down and he said, I just think it's so funny. And I said, what's so funny? And he said, I think it's so funny the way that you've made up all these lies about me. And I said, oh no. And he said, you know, if you weren't wearing glasses, I'd hit you in the face. And the trouble with me is that you just shouldn't give me a challenge. So I said, okay, well, you're not gonna hit me in the face, are you? So let's have a decent conversation. And then he threw a glass at my head. And like, little old me, little old 5'8" me, little old, like, never did a dance class in the life, but like, whew, dodged it. Amazing. Shattered on the wall behind me. It's very dramatic. And I said, okay, it's gone from a verbal thing to a physical thing now. Like, let's just call it a night. You're moving out. It doesn't need to go any further. And then, this is the point where it sounds like I'm making it up. He took my laptop and he hit me around the face with it.
What?
And I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out, I don't remember a thing. I was very surprised. And then he chucked my laptop against the wall and I thought, like, oh, well, now it's definitely broken. Oh. So I legged it out of the room into my housemate's bedroom, which was just off the lounge. And bear in mind, this was February, but we were students, so we had not yet taken down our Christmas tree. And it was held up by a big solid glass jug full of rocks. And I barged into Becky's room and I said, Becky, Alex has gone mental! And we were trying to close the door and he was forcing the door open. And then he hit me over the head with a jug full of rocks. I have quite a big head, so I think that's the only explanation as to why I'm not dead. Glass covered in rock and gravel and broken glass. We get the door closed, we call the police. And they say, is anyone in immediate danger? And Becky looks at me and she says, is anyone in immediate danger? And I went, if he goes up to the top floor, then he'll I had a very small friend called Lindsay. He'll yell at Lindsay. So he said, yes, someone's in immediate danger. Meanwhile, another friend called Bryony came down to Becky's room. She knocked on the door and we were like, oh God, bracing us, it's gonna be Alex. Put the drawer on the latch and we opened the door. And it was Brian. And she goes, my boyfriend's being such a dick! And Becky goes, get out of the house, Bri. And she goes, okay. She doesn't. She goes into the lounge and sits down. Alex comes into the lounge from the kitchen and starts walking towards her. And she says, my boyfriend's being such a dick, he's being so weird, he's not coming back. He goes, oh, that's so weird, Brian. She goes, why is the glass covered in... Why is the floor covered in glass? He goes, oh, because I hit Aiden with a jug full of rocks. He went, okay. And she pegged it. And Bri, despite being very upset about her boyfriend, rightly so, he was a dick, She, on the way out of the house, hits the fire alarm. Stroke of genius. Because when the police eventually arrive, they find Alex in the lounge with the gas fire on, both of the ovens on, and him holding a lighter.
What?
Oh my god.
I know. So me and Becky are holed up in her room, and we're like, oh god, he's gonna get arrested, oh, this is great, blah, 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 blah. And I sat there and I think, I don't have my bloody glasses, I left them in the lounge. Oh, Becky, tiny little Welsh fireball that she was, I'm not gonna do the accent, runs into the lounge and she goes, Alex, he's being literally cuffed at this point. She goes, Alex, where are Aiden's glasses? And he says, they're in the fridge, second shelf next to the cheese. It was the only place they'd be safe. Anyway, Alex got sectioned. I didn't press charges. They asked me if I wanted to, but I didn't press charges. But when he got sectioned, apparently they gave me some compensation. So for about 2.5 years, I got like £80 a month in the post. So as a house, like every month we'd go for a night out and be like, thanks, Alex.
About love expanding. Some of you know I have a transgender daughter, and she's 25 and she's lovely. About 12 years ago, when things were getting sorted out and interesting, at the time my son went on a trip to Italy and France and Paris on a cooking trip to learn how to cook. And called me from Paris and said, Mom, I have something really important to tell you. And I said, okay, Jamie, what's important? Are you okay? So I'm okay, but it's really something important you should know. And I said, okay, you can tell me anything. He said, that's why I'm calling you. I said, okay, and I'm ready for anything. And he says, so I'm probably bisexual. And I said, okay. He said, well, how do you feel about that? And I said, well, actually, I'm a little bit jealous. And he said, how could you be jealous? I said, well, you've got two choices, don't you? I've only got one. How is that fair? And he laughed, and we went on. And I get a phone call 2 days later. Mom, I have something important to tell you. I said, oh, he's going to say he's gay. He's figured it out. He says, I'm going vegan. And I said, you can have sex with whoever you want, but you are not going vegan. You are not doing that to me. I do the cooking, I do the shopping. This is not happening. So he has a little brother. And once things were sorted out and we'd worked out the trans thing, it was just between me and Jamie and her father. And she wanted it kept that way because she wanted to tell her little brother on her own. And that went on for several months until I was driving Andrew home from something and we had a bit of a distance to go. And he was about 13, I think. And he said to me, Mom, is Jamie a girl now? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, okay, is he having the surgery and everything? I'm like, my 13-year-old knows an awful lot. Yes, I think ultimately she will have the surgery. He said, sorry, I meant she. And he said, so when she gets the surgery, do you know when that's going to be? And I said, no, that's up to her, sweetie. She may want to grow up a bit. Okay, but when she does, can I have hers? Because have you seen it? It's brilliant! And that was the end of Andrew being upset about anything. And that's my story.
I'm Charlotte. I've recently graduated from university studying nursing. So the story that I'm going to tell today is actually the story that kind of led to me to go into nursing. So just for context, for those of you who don't know me, I am probably the clumsiest person you will ever meet. It's like people think they're clumsy, then they meet me and they go, oh. So I was gonna do a bit of a Joker thing and go like, do you wanna know how I got these scars? But it just doesn't work on me, that voice don't work on me. So what happened was, it's about 5:30 in the morning and I'm on my way to work. I had a really late dance rehearsal the night before and I'm on the top deck of the bus when, bear in mind the bus is completely stopped, we're at some lights, I go down to get off the bus and I just completely missed the step and went cascading down them. Whilst I was doing so, rather than just letting myself fall, I decided to try and save myself. So I tried to wrap my left hand around like the bus bar, like the stair bar, whatever you want to call it, and it just literally cracked it. So I get to the bottom of the stairs, I'm like, obviously, like, I'm not gonna do it as loud as I did it because honestly, people were staring at me like I was possessed. And so the bus driver has to drive to the next bus stop because otherwise if he stops in the middle of the road, that's not safe. And from then the bus completely empties. Luckily this one lady who knew first aid, she stayed with me. Turns out she works for Sainsbury's. I don't know if that's relevant in any way, but no, it's not actually. Anyway, so she's staying with me. She's taken my phone from me. Bear in mind, when I stand up, my arm's literally just like that. Like I can't actually move it. I mean, I'm moving it now, but it wasn't moving. So this woman, rather than asking her to call my family first, I said to her, can you call my manager and let him know I'm not going to be in today? So that's what I ended up doing, basically. And my manager, he's also one of my best friends, by the way, he was talking to me afterwards and he was like, I was trying to listen to what the woman was saying, but all I could hear was you shrieking in the background. Oops. And then, yeah, so they tried to call my mum. She didn't answer because, you know, it's 5:30 in the morning. They called my sister. She answered. And, yeah, she said the same thing. She was like, I was trying to hear what this woman was saying, but nah, you were shrieking, man. So eventually we called the ambulance, of course, because I needed to go to hospital. And it turned out there was actually a massive pile-up somewhere, like, near to us, which meant that because my position wasn't life-threatening, the ambulance wasn't actually going to come and see me. So these police people come and, like, take statements and stuff because it was on a bus. And eventually they kind of strap me up and take me to the hospital. They take me to the hospital. They go and obviously have to do an x-ray, etc., etc. And because of how painful my arm was, they initially couldn't get my arm onto the slab. So they had to, like, put this shot of morphine into my bum, which my mum was there the entire time, so I'm really glad I don't have any, like, embarrassing tattoos there or anything, because, yeah. So that happened. And once they'd done the morphine, I became high as a kite. Honestly, I was still in pain, but I was skipping down the hospital corridors like I was a little crackhead or something. I don't know. But so I get back to the x-ray suite after having the morphine and I literally just put my arm on the slab and like, you know, turn to the radiographer. This is the most comfortable I've been all day. And he just said, oh, well, you can stay there the entire night or entire day if you want. I just went, that would be grand. So then I looked down on my arm, and my arm, I can't lie, was like this. So then I looked at it. Obviously, by then, I'm so high, I don't care about anything. So I'm just like, oh, it's like a chubby banana. So, yeah, that happens. X-ray finishes. I go outside to my mum. She's carrying all of my stuff for me, obviously. I'm in my sling and I just go. And it takes two people to, like, put me in a cast and everything. I ended up having to have surgery, of course, because it turned out the bones that are supposed to be like that were like that. Yeah. I've still got a picture of the X-ray because we literally went. But, yeah. So I had surgery that afternoon. And they put me with anaesthesia, etc., etc. And it came to me coming around from the anaesthesia back when I was at the hospital. The ward. Of course I was at the hospital. Anyway. And so they're asking me like these loads of questions. Bear in mind, I'm still half asleep. And my mum and my sister are there by that point. And they go, oh, so who's your next of kin? So I'm literally just like, say you're my mum and you're my sister. I'm just like, and then mum just went, it's me. And yeah, so then the next morning I was obviously off the anaesthesia by that point. As in, it had worn out completely. And I was just looking around thinking, I quite like this environment, you know. It's cool. And about a week later, I applied for my nursing degree on a total whim. Never had any healthcare experience whatsoever, but obviously had enough life experience because they let me in at Greenwich University. And now I'm about to graduate and waiting for my classification. And I'll be starting my job next month on a trauma and orthopaedic ward, which is, yeah, which is bone breakages, by the way.
Actually, I'm going to put that back, because last time, as I am doing right now, I'm a really bad host and I do things really wrong. There was one person from last 2 weeks ago who put their name down on a slip, and I left it sat down there and I didn't bring it up. So they remained there and I felt really bad at the end of it. So I'm going to get him up here now. And that is Alex. Come on up, Alex.
Firstly, no, you're not a bad host. I just got it in late. That's all that was. Hello, I'm the only person here that you don't know. Little bit of introduction. Yeah, I'm Alex. I went to a drama school. I am an actor, although according to Rishi Sunak, that means I'm classically trained as unemployable. Yeah. Story for me. I mean, obviously, this is going to be a 2020 story to a degree. Because 2020 for a lot of creatives was really difficult, and I was one of them. Hooray. But yeah, essentially, I went through quite a big upheaval in terms of a breakup through 2020. That's not exactly the focus of the story, but it helps to give context. And we'd been going out for about three and a half years at that point. Had the kid talk, had had the marriage talk, had, you know, moved in with each other and all of that. She was Australian, and her dad was diagnosed with a severe illness, and she had to fly back to Sydney the day before lockdown, because we were like, if you don't go now, you never will. You'll never forgive yourself if the worst happens, or the inevitable happens quicker than you think it will. So we got her over there, and then after a few months of trying long distance, we decided, you know what, this is too much for you to handle with looking after your dad and everything. So we decided to cut it off before resentment started to build. Healthiest way we could do it, still hurts. Now, the focus of the story is, I, through encouragement of friends, friends, got back on the dating apps. I say back on the dating apps. I'd never used them before, so this was an initial thing. And my God, the strangeness that has happened because of these dating apps. I'll skip over a couple because I think I can, just to, in terms of weirdness, I'll see if I can rank them in terms of odd interactions with people. There was a lady who we were having a lovely time walking around Borough Market. It was a very nice date, but she was in the ambulance service, and this was while social distancing was still very much a thing. And so I was like, cool, I'm not going to touch you, I'm not going to go near you unless I have express consent from you to break social distancing guidelines. We're just going to keep very much off the beaten path, or not off the beaten path, just very separate. And at one point, while we were walking through Borough Market, she trips, and I instinctively go, oh, and then immediately go, shit, I've just broken social distancing, because I've just grabbed her to steady her. And I apologized, and she said, oh, don't worry, it's fine, it's fine. I work in the ambulance service. I get a test every 2 days. Like, it's completely fine. I'm clean. I'm assuming you're clean. And to be honest, I've wanted to snog you for the last 20 minutes. And I went, okay. Yeah, sure. It's been a long lockdown. Fine. So that happened. And then afterwards, we were chatting a little bit afterwards, coming towards the end of the date. And I sort of said, I've got to get off now. And that came out wrong. But I've got to, you know, go home now. And we were talking about acting, and she said, oh, well, I really like your hair. I love the colour brown it is. I went, it's not brown. It's blonde. And she went, no, it's not. It's brown. It's like, no, because on my acting CV, it says blonde. Like, I've had that for like 10 years. It has to say blonde. You know, it says like 6 feet, blonde hair, hazel eyes. And she was like, they're not hazel. Like, they are. That's just what they are. It's what it is. What? And then didn't really think much of it. Just thought it was maybe a sense of humor I wasn't getting. Went home. She was texting me about the date afterwards. And I made a joke to say, oh, well, the only reason that, you know, I let you kiss me was because I knew you're getting a COVID test tomorrow. And I just know that way I'll be safe. I'll just use you as like a canary down the mine. And she went, no, I didn't ask to kiss you. You asked to kiss me. Don't you remember? No, because that didn't happen. What's happening here? Is this really base level gaslighting? I'm not sure what. So that's how it started off, major. I had another one where a lady who asked me out at work, not here, although that's never happened before, if anyone wants to be the first. dreadful. And we had 2 dates. Second date, we ended up back at hers with some wine and some nibbles, and it was really fun. And then just before I was about to start therapy, a couple of days after the third date, a couple of days after the second date, she texted me saying, oh, it's really cold this morning. I wish you were here to warm me up. Also, I have a fantasy about you doing me in a Nazi uniform. To which I went, sorry. Where's that come from? And I just kind of skipped over that. And I was having housing trouble at the time. And then she asked me, then her next question was, well, you could always move in with me. And I was like, 2 dates. Been on 2 dates. Then said, this is not going to work. I'm really sorry. But instead of being a normal human and doing that via text or phone, I was in the area. She lives near here. And I thought, do you know what? She needs to let someone down. It's nice to be in a safe space. I'll go to hers to just say, hey, this has been lovely, but this, I don't think we're right. And it turned out it was her birthday. Her 40th birthday. She hadn't told me her age either. I thought she was mid-30s. I'm early 30s. And it was just like, oh, okay. But still, for me, the weirdest one. I can't believe I'm going to tell this one as well. Yeah. I mean, for me, this is weirder, but this is a little bit more intimate, so I hope. Went on a date again. I tripped over. It had been raining the night before. I slipped on some grass while trying to help her down a little bit of a slope. And all I had with me was hand sanitizer and a single tissue. It's like, this is not going to work. She said, well, my flat is just around the corner. It's a bit of a building site. It does have running water. Do you want to just go and clean yourself up? I said, yes, please. That'd be really helpful. did that. We'd shared a bottle of wine already by this point. I get out of the shower. She's opened another bottle of wine and said, come join me. We finished that. There's a long pause in this conversation, at which point, and Hannah, I'm just going to use you because you're in my eye line, if that's okay. She just stares at me and says, we're so different. We're so different. We're so different. We're so different. I mean, I fancy you, but we're so different. We're so different. I was like, where the fuck is this going? And I went, okay, what? And she went, well, do you want to just have sex and then we'll call it there? Obviously, I'm a full bottle of wine deep by this point, considering two shared, and went, yeah, sure. Midway through this thing, she cups my face in her hands like this. Okay, I'm going to do it here. Puts both thumbs over my eyes, rubs them like this, and says, you have such sad eyes. How do I make you happy? At which point I responded, I think that's just my face. Yeah. Basically, the sum up of the story is single life is weird. But yeah, I've put a couple of those stories now on TikTok, which is why I made the joke. No names or identifying information. And the last one I did has had over 1.2 million views. And I'm a little bit weird. But yeah, those are my stories. I do have more bad dates if people want them, but I think I'm out of time. So.
Okay, this is just a quick one. So when I was about 14, it was my friend, my best friend's birthday coming up. And she told me a couple months before, hey, my mum is planning on getting me something really great. And obviously we were 14, so my immediate thought was, make a joke. Oh my God, it's a dildo, isn't it? So obviously that became a running joke, that she was going to get a dildo from her mum. And about a week before her birthday, she was like, no, my mum's getting me like this really nice trip to Croatia or something. I was like, okay, I'll get you a dildo then. Not really thinking about the fact that I was 14, didn't have access to an Amazon account, had absolutely no idea what a dildo even really did or how to get one. But I figured, well, there are sex shops. I know they sell sex toys. I'm going to need to go to a sex shop. So I went to the shopping centre with my dad and very quickly realised, yes, sex shops are 18 plus. I was like, well, I don't really have a plan from here on. So I said to my dad, right, I need you to do me a favour. You know that sex shop over there? I need you to get me a dildo. I explained, you know, it's for my best friend's birthday. It's a joke, like, you know. I promise it's not for me. And he was like, okay. So he went into the sex shop. I waited around the corner for about 10 minutes. And he came out and I was like, did you get it? He was like, yes. And he showed it to me. And what he actually got was a vibrator with the words happy birthday written all over it that vibrated to the tune of happy birthday. So on my best friend's birthday, I gave her that vibrator and oh my God, we were the talk of the school for the whole day. I enjoyed it so much. I don't think she did. Well, I hope she's enjoying it now. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much.
I think we need to meet your dad. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he's got a few stories to tell. He'll be interested to hear that story from his perspective. Thanks, Anna.
There we have it. Five wonderful stories from five very different people. Stories about relationships with children, with friends, with housemates, with people that you would hope to have a relationship with. I thoroughly enjoyed those evenings, thoroughly enjoyed listening back to it. brought back a lot of memories. I'm hoping to keep the storytelling evenings going. I'm now based in Brighton, but I can travel around doing them. The whole idea of the Story Pilgrim is me collecting stories from people's lives to help me figure out what this journey, this pilgrimage of life is all about. As I've said before, we're all doing it so differently, and it fascinates me. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll join us again. The Story Pilgrim was written and produced by Darren Hill. Music by the amazing Anya Backer and Sean. To find out more, please search on social media for The Story Pilgrim. Please share this podcast with those that you love. Keep listening, and buen camino.